course, you know the pastor asked me to teach today, and I'm happy to do that. Today's lesson, pastor touched on this a while back about the Genesis and the Chinese language. Well, I've been studying this for a while, so I figured I'd ask the Lord, and He told me to go ahead and teach it, so I'm teaching it. But it's amazing study because it shows you how much light God gave to all the nations right after the flood. And they took that light into their nations. But over time, man falls away from God and they start worshiping idols and they start worshiping false spirits and seducing spirits. And pretty soon all that light that was there is gone. And the same thing happened to the Chinese people, and it also happened to the Greeks. And when we'll be turning to Acts chapter 17, and then we'll be going to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll be covering from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 11. In Acts chapter 17, and verse 22... Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that ye are all things, ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by, I beheld your devotion and found an altar with the inscriptions to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth all life, breath, and all things. He hath made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and He hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, ye are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold, silver, or stone, or graven by the arts of men's devices. And all things of this ignorant God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained. Wherefore, He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead." The Chinese probably have the largest Christian population in the world. We think of America as being God's love, but God loves the Chinese, God loves the Africans, God loves the Arabs, God loves the Germans and the Russians just as much as He loves you. He died for all men. And when you look at this Chinese language, you can't help but think God loved these people enough to put His message in their language. And I've been studying this for a while, and it's amazing how many Chinese come to know Jesus Christ through their language, because their language confirms the story of creation. It testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Chinese migrated from the Tower of Babel, they had this one god they called Shangdi. And Chang'e is the God of Heaven, or the Heavenly King of the Chinese people. They worship him. This worship goes all the way back to 2,500 years, or 2,500 BC. And when you look at this worship, it's pretty unique in China. It's not worshiping the dead or worshiping Buddha. Chang'e is an unknown god, just like the Greeks worshipped. They have a temple there that they built that's real old, but it's a beautiful temple. It has no idols inside. It's made up of three parts. And you need to go online and look at this thing. But they worshiped this god once a year by bringing a sacrifice. And this sacrifice was done just like Cain and Abel or whatever, you know, Abraham or whatever. You know, they took the lamb, they held it, they cut its throat, and then they bled it out. And it's amazing how similar it is to what the Bible talks about. The Chinese language is made up of pictures and pictographs. And just like all ancient languages, the writings evolve. Like, for instance, the word sun was a picture of a round circle with little rays coming out. That was the sun. Now the sun in the Chinese language is basically a type of square. But just like the Hebrew language, it evolved. And if you go back to ancient Hebrew and look at that, and then look at the new, the modern Hebrew, they have similarities, but they're different. When you look at the Chinese language, you can't help but see Genesis. How would they know anything about Genesis? Everyone has a story of the flood, but they have different teachings about creation. But the Chinese, it's in their language. There's two languages that are considered ancient: Hebrew and the Chinese language. When you study a little bit about China, you find out that they were isolated. They're an isolated nation. They didn't let people in readily. They kept them out. It wasn't until 1400 AD that Marco Polo went in and started the silk trade. But they were isolated. That would mean that their culture shares a common beginning with the Jews, because they have the same type of creation in their literature. For instance, the word beginning, it has the symbol for two and people. That's the beginning. Adam and Eve was the beginning. There's two Chinese historians, Chuang Tzu. He writes, "In the beginning of all things, there was a void. There was nothing that could be named." What does that sound like? Genesis chapter 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Deng Zhanshu writes that the origin is like the source, and the source is God. Its significance lies in the permeation of heaven and earth from the beginning to the end. Where did he get that? John writes in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." Everything is about God. God permeates everything in creation. When you start to look at Genesis chapter 1 and the creation of mankind, the Chinese language is pretty precise. The word create is this symbol right here. It's made up of four different parts. Speak, dust, life, and walk. Now, there's not too many cultures out there that talk about the beginning started with dust, and it was spoken into existence. And it life was breathed into it, and then it walked. You won't find that in Darwin's book of evolution. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into the nostrils the breath of life." Excuse me. "And man became a living soul." Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed." Garden. Dust, breath, two persons, enclosure, equals garden. That's kind of amazing. Where did they get that? Also, happiness. Happiness is the symbols for God, or one God, man, and garden. You say, well, that's happiness. If you look at the Bible, start out here in Genesis. You start out in a garden. You start out with a tree. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge, good and evil, two trees. When you go all the way through the circle of the scriptures and you come around to Revelation chapter 22, where are you at? You're back in a garden with a tree in God's presence. So happiness is when you're fellowship with God in a garden. They got that right. How did they do that? The word complete or finished. Two persons first and first home equals complete. Those four symbols make the word complete. When God finished Adam and Eve, what did he do? He said, "It's finished." And he rested on the seventh day. The word first is living, dust, and man. Now, where does that come from? The word first is made up of three symbols: living, dust, and man. The word garden, we already went through that one. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." 3:1. "And the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. The word covet and desire. Now these two symbols on the top is a cross with two slats coming down on each side. That means tree. Now I always wondered, why did they make a cross for a tree and then put branches down? There might be something a little bit more there than meets the eye, but we're just going to look at it as two trees. Two trees, woman, equals desire. She desired to eat the tree that God forbid them to eat. Why did they use two trees? One represents the tree of life. The other one represents the tree of knowledge and good and evil. Now, if it's talking about a tree by itself, it's singular tree. But how did they know that unless they had information about the beginning time? Forbidden, again, forbidden to warn. Two trees again. Two trees and God. How does that happen? Tempter. Tempter is made up of secret. This is the devil. The devil is this portion down here. Secret, man, garden, alive. The devil secretly went into the garden and tempted man. Devil, to complete it, it's devil, two trees, cover or secret, and that's the word for tempter. It's kind of amazing to me. Here's a people that's been isolated from the rest of the world for thousands of years, and they know more about creation than our scientists in this country knows today. In Genesis chapter 3, 6, it says, "And when the woman saw the trees that it was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And their eyes were open, and their eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord." The word death, to put to death, is words, a tree, and I believe that this is representing the tree of knowledge and good and evil, life and death. They disobeyed God's word. They ate of the tree. They lost their life. And they went back to the dust. This is all through this word dust and tree is permeating the Chinese language. And when they show this to Chinese people, they hear that God loves them, and that God loved them enough to send his son to die for them. They're getting saved by the droves. They're willing to suffer persecution. They're willing to be sent into concentration camps for their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that happened here in America, I don't think, I might be wrong, but we've had it so easy in this country, and we're so soft when it comes to our beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis chapter 3, 18, it talks about the curse that was put on this earth, and thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. The word thorn in the Chinese language is made up of weeds and punishment. And the word offender and knife. We offended God, and God gave us thorns as punishment. The weeds bring up thorns. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was corrupt before God. And the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them from the face of the earth. The word Noah is made up of promise, approved. God approved Noah. God gave Noah a promise. And also the word for second. Noah was the world's second chance to get it right. And they miserably failed. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt pitch it with and without with pitch. The word the word ship or vessel is made up of the word ship plus eight persons. They had knowledge of the flood. The word flood is water and total. The earth was totally covered with water. Also, the total is made up of total, or together, earth and eight. Eight is also found in the word flood. Eight persons escaped. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20, and Noah built an altar. Thank you, brother. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled the sweet savor. The word altar or sacrifice is made up of the word ox, lamb, and unblemished. They got that right in their language. Unblemished. Now, most Americans, when they try to give an offering to the Lord, they give a mediocre offering, or they give what they think they can get by with, but they don't really give a sacrifice. But when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was the Lamb of God without blemish. Righteousness is made up of sheep and me. Sheep and me. The word me, and I don't know how in the world they got this, hand and knife. That equals righteousness. In order to obtain righteousness, blood has to be shed. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." God told the Jew, or told the world, to scatter and to repopulate the earth. And what did they do? Genesis chapter 11, 1. "And the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, and they found the plains of the land of Shinar, they dwelt there, and they said one to another, Go to and let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had bricks of stone, and slime had they for mortar. And said, Let us go and build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the earth." Man is constantly rebelling against God. God says, don't build a city, don't build a tower, go scatter and be fruitful and multiply on the face of the earth. Man is still building towers. Everywhere man goes, he has to build a tower. That's a sign of rebellion against God. God tells him to scatter. And when you look at this and you think, you know, they're not doing what God says. They're listening to someone else, which was, you know, the devil seducing spirits. And they're congregating into one place. Now, I always look at the Bible and I think, I see these things. Like when Jesus Christ is in the wilderness and Satan comes and says, "Turn this bread into stone that you may eat." And he says, "Don't tempt the Lord thy God." Satan is always trying to move. God has a timeline that he's going by. And Satan is always trying to move that timeline back and force God to do something that God is not ready for. It's not God's time. Satan is always trying to force that. He's trying to kill the Jews. He's trying to do this. He's trying to do that. But he talked these people into staying in this area. It's the right thing, but the wrong time. It'll happen during the tribulational period when the nations will congregate together and become one with the Antichrist. And God will come down and judge. It wasn't time back then, but the time is fastly approaching. When the Jews are going into the wilderness, God will turn the stones into bread and he will feed them in the wilderness. That's the right time. Not one when he was in the wilderness for the 40 years. But you see Satan always trying to push it forward. You see World War I, World War II, and then now we're approaching World War III. But God has a plan. He has a time. And he's not going to allow Satan to push it forward or push it ahead of time. But the Chinese people had a knowledge of this Tower of Babel. The word tower in the Chinese language is mud, grass, and if you know anything about building, making bricks, you've got to have clay and you mix it with grass and you put it in a kiln and you fire it, and when it comes out of the kiln, it's a brick. That's how you make a brick. If anybody doesn't know, you know now. Plus people, plus one language. That is the word for tower. Mud, grass, people, one language. How did they know that? Because it happened, and they were there at one time. Genesis chapter 11, verse 7 says, "To go to, let us go down, and there confound the languages, that they may not understand one another's speech." The word in the Chinese language for confusion is tongue and mystery. A mystery tongue. And if you've ever been around somebody that trying to speak a foreign language to you, it's impossible to understand what they're saying. They can write it down and you still won't understand it. We speak in an English. Comprende? And so the Lord scattered them abroad from hence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. The word scatter is all flesh go. And all flesh did go after God confounded the languages. They scattered throughout the world. The word migrate is great divisions walk west, walk from the west and stop. That means that they started in the west, in the land of Shinar, and they went directly east. And when they got to the Pacific Ocean, they stopped. And that's where the nation of China is located. The Tower of Babel, and it has Babel, the word Babel, is desire and depart to separate. And that's what God did in the Tower of Babel. He desired to separate the nations. The word repent. And you look at this and you go, man, they had that right. It's the word repent is made up of heart. It has to come from the heart. It's a beginning. It's a new beginning when you repent. And it's they have heaven and earth, one on top of the other. First you repent to heaven, and then you change your ways here on earth. And it has a lance. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And before they took him off the cross, they stuck a lance in his side. And he bled out blood and water. And he did this so that you could be saved. Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." That is one free gift. And it only happens when you humble yourself before God and cry out to Him and ask Him to save you from your wretched, miserable lives and come into your heart and make you anew. When I got saved, I was witnessing to a guy yesterday. I said, when I got saved, I thought I was already saved. I thought I was a good person. And I thought I could do very little wrong. But God proved me wrong. And then one day someone came to me in my wretched condition and said, "Dave, if you're a Christian, Christians don't live like you do." And then when I saw myself, God showed me what I looked like to Him. When I saw myself as He saw me, I was horrified. I was petrified. I knew that any minute my heart could stop and I'd be in hell burning forever and ever and ever without any hope. And that was a horrible feeling. And people in this church hear the gospel every day. And they've hardened their heart to the point where they don't want to hear it anymore. They know the lingo. They know how to act in church. But when they go outside of church, that action ceases. And I'm terrified for you. Because can you imagine waking up in hell and knowing that there's no escape? I mean, to be burning and burning. And this one guy was talking about, he woke up in hell when, you know, he died. And of course, they brought him back. But he woke up in hell and these demons were just ripping at his flesh. And he's tearing him apart. And he said, as soon as I was torn apart in the agony and the pain and the burning. And then all of a sudden it started all over again. And it started again with these demons were ripping him apart. And then when he got finished, it started over again. And that's going to happen to people for eternity. And it's not because God sent you there. It's because you sent yourself there by rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The more you study about hell and you hear the testimony of people that have died and they brought back, it scares me to death to think that anyone here would go there thinking that they're okay. The Bible says to search and to be sure of your salvation, to work it out, make sure, search your heart daily, because our minds can fool our hearts to thinking that we're okay. I was 23 years old when I got saved. And when I was a small kid, I used to go on church bus every day. Every time church bus come around, because they had bubble gum and they had all kinds of little Tootsie Roll Pops and stuff, you know. And I liked that kind of stuff when I was a kid. I like it now. But it sends these kids into a false security. They say this little prayer, repeat after me, and then they take you in front of the church and say, oh, little Johnny got saved today. Little Johnny's lost. It didn't happen. And it same thing happened to me. And it wasn't until 23 years later when I was 23 that God came to me. Has God came to you? You can ask Brother Crane and Brother Presley and some of the other brothers that search on the web to find out what's going on in the world. I mean, it is horrifying. They're making clothes. They're trying to make unisex clothes for your little kids and make you dress them in a neutral way. They don't want little boys to be little boys anymore. They want to be little girls. And they want your little girls to act like little boys. The Bible says it's a curse to a nation for a woman to lead a nation. And we're promoting this stuff and we think it's okay. It's not okay. It's a curse to a nation. I'll get a lot of hate mail for this. I don't care. This is what the Bible says. Our children are in a rebellion. They think they know more than the parents. They've sat in church all their life and they got desensitized to the gospel. And to the point where it usually takes a person 80 years to get desensitized to the gospel, but now it's 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. These kids think they know everything. Let me tell you something. We're going back to the jungle. We're going back to the jungle. If you don't believe me, look at all the tattoos. Look at all the piercings. We're going back to the jungle. People don't even know who their fathers are anymore. Sex is a common thing. I wasn't even allowed to say the word sex when I was a little boy. That was a bad word. I get my mouth washed out with soap. But now it's common. and it makes me sick. I can't watch TV because TV is full of Sodom and Sodomites. They're trying to change your children into Sodomites. America needs to wake up and smell the roses. The Lord Jesus Christ is about to come back. And if you're not ready, you're going to a burning hell. And you won't get a second chance during the tribulation. The Bible says you'll be turned over to a strong delusion. So don't think that you're going to fight the Antichrist and do all that stuff that those stupid books tell you they're going to do. They're lies. It gives people a false sense of security. The Chinese people are going through hell right now. And it won't be long before we're going through hell. You need to cry out to God while we still have time. Revelation chapter 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and will sup with him. And to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." What a blessing that would be. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. God help us. And God help you if you're lost. Our dear Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for this message. I thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for my sins. Save me from a devil's hell. I pray, Lord, that your will be done today. And I pray that souls will be convicted and souls will be repenting and turning to Christ for the remission of their sins. Lord, I pray for the visitors that are here that they'll hear the man of God today preach with fervency. And I pray that you'll lift him up, Lord. Give him strength. We're so thankful, Lord, today that we have a pastor that believes your word and trusts in your word. Blessed be your holy and righteous name, my blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.